How are you? My name is Carlos Vasquez. I'm here to tell you my story. There are a lot of stories out there, you would imagine, with all the people that were hurt in the World Trade Center incident. Mine is just another story. I heard a lot of different stories. I heard one Christian story, and after hearing it, I said, so where's Christ in all of this? And I heard a story from another gentleman, but he won't say it in public because he's waiting for a movie deal. I'm here, not looking for a movie deal. I'm here that God may be glorified. As we were going through firehouses today, I spoke with one gentleman. He reminded me about a gentleman that I know, John Jonas. He was a captain of Ladder 6, and he was trapped in one of the buildings that collapsed and subsequently removed from the building. And he said, you know, I heard something that he said, that the lady was like a guardian angel to him. Well, you know, God sometimes sends people in our paths and situations in our way so that things can be accomplished. And there's no other way that these things can be accomplished. And I believe that God placed me there that day so that I would give testimony and that people will come to know him. And I believe not that I would be glorified, but that he would be glorified. Just to tell you a little bit about myself, I was born in the South Bronx, but I spent 3 years in the Army as an MP investigator. And during this time, I went to a number of fatality accidents, suicides, rapes, larcenies, all different type of crimes on a big Army post. I spent over a year on the New York City Police Department. Prior to coming on the fire department, I have 19 years on the New York City Fire Department, 13 of which I spent in the Bronx, 6 I spent in Lower Manhattan, and currently I'm working as a captain in hazmat operations. I have a wife and 4 children that I love. I just want to convey a quick story. I went to the Jersey Shore just about a week ago. My son, he forgot his little bear that he sleeps with. He misses the bear. Actually, I called my wife up. She says they're shipping it back from the hotel because he had left it there. But it has a little piece of Velcro attached to it. And we put that there because we noticed as a little child, when I cradled him, he would rub my beard. And he liked that feeling. He would go to sleep rubbing my beard. So we put a little Velcro, the rough side, on it. And he misses that. And you know, sometimes that's how it is. We need something just to remind us that God's there, that we're close to him. All right. Back to where I was. Spent 13 years in the Bronx. During that time, not unusual to hear some banging on the door. And we already got used to looking out real quick because more than once we had several people stabbed right outside. They're running to the firehouse. Somebody's chasing them with a knife, stabbed right in front of the firehouse. I think 2 people were shot outside the firehouse. They had 1 police officer killed across the street from the firehouse. So it was not a nice neighborhood. Twice I was on a roof where people had gone through the roof. One time the gentleman was just 6 feet away from me. We were looking at one another eye to eye when he fell through. The flames went over his head and we just looked at each other and he just went down. And I thought to myself, this guy's dead. That's all I can think. He fell into the fire, suffered 2nd and 3rd degree burns all over his body. He was removed. I had given a mayday, and because of the mayday, they were able to push in to try to get him, and they were able to get him out. Responded to a fire where 86 people had died in a place ironically called Happy Lands. Up to that point, if I could use a phrase that John uses, I thought I saw everything. I was promoted in 97 to the rank of lieutenant. When you get promoted, they ship you to a different area. Went to Lower Manhattan, where I pretty much bounced around to different firehouses as a lieutenant. During this time, you get to know people, you know, and it's a lot of buffoonery, I guess, in the firehouses. Guys do a lot of funny things. And I just remember one story. I was working in 10 and 10, which is right across the street from the World Trade Center one day, and the guys go, hey, Lou, come over here. Let me show you something. And they shut all the lights off on the apparatus floor. They open up the door just a little bit. The guy gets a big wad of paper, puts a dollar bill around it and a rubber band and some fishing line. Throws it outside the door. Millions of people walking by. And you should see these people. They're trying to stomp on the money, trying to grab it, pushing other people out of the way. And these guys are pushing it back, you know, and getting a good laugh out of it. It was pretty funny. And I told these guys, good thing you're not in the Bronx, because they'll shoot you if you did that there. Anyway, I thought I saw everything until 9/11. On September 11th, 2001, I was on my way down to the city. Actually, I was in the city already, in the Bronx. I was making my way down there because of a mayor's election race, and I was helping out the union, trying to get out the vote for their candidate. I actually had an ulterior motive for this. I was on the bottom of the captain's list, and I figured it wouldn't hurt. So I was down in the city. A friend of mine called me on a cell phone, and he asked me if I heard what happened. I had my radio off, so I didn't really know what happened. He told me what happened, a plane crashed in the Trade Center. At first, I was confused. I just didn't know what, should I go down there? Should I go to the nearest firehouse? Finally, I decided, let me just go down there. Started heading down there. And as I started to head down there, I can hear on the radio, the island of Manhattan is closed. They closed all the bridges to all traffic in and out. And I'm still thinking, should I head down there? So I continue to head down there. As I'm heading down there, I can see the buildings smoking on fire. When I got closer to the bridge, traffic was obviously backed up, and I'm thinking, aren't these knuckleheads listening to the radio? It's closed. They're not going to let them in. And I, in a typical New York fashion, I just like cut everybody off and started going down one-way streets and finally got to the foot of the bridge, identified myself. They let me right through as I head down the drive going down to Manhattan. Not one car on there. On a drive that's normally traffic on the whole span of it. And as I got closer to Lower Manhattan, where my company is, I started to see people coming up, and it looked like they threw a bag of flour on their head. By that time, the first building had collapsed. I arrived at my firehouse. We confiscated a truck, loaded it up with as much medical equipment as we could, started heading down there. The second building collapsed. It was a beautiful, bright blue sky that day until we got to the point, maybe 4 or 5 blocks away from the World Trade Center. And it was like an umbrella of dust. And as we entered this umbrella, by that time I knew the building had collapsed, but I haven't seen anything. And I'm thinking, where is this dust coming from? So much dust. It looked like snow on the ground. And I picked it up and I looked at it and I just couldn't figure out what it was. And I saw shoes on the floor. I saw pictures of people in an office environment having a good time. I saw money. And as I started to head closer to the site where the Trade Center stood, I looked around and I didn't know where I was. I worked there the day before on overtime. That day, I didn't know where I was. Everything was a shade of gray. You couldn't see more than 20 feet in front of you. The building was gone. I couldn't see it. And I saw my fire truck damaged from rubble and on fire. I could hear my friend John Jonas on the radio, the gentleman that was rescued from the collapsed building. I wasn't sure if he arrived afterwards or if he was there before. It was hard to determine, but I knew that he was in the building. They later rescued him, thank God. And when I spoke to him about 2 months after the incident. He came back his first day, and he was promoted to battalion chief. I said, John, how do you feel? All he did was lift up his hand, and it was shaking. I was there later on when 7 World Trade Center collapsed, and I can only describe it. It sounded like a freight train coming. The Bible tells us that there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth in the end days. When you look at it, a very small incident compared to the whole world. That day I saw grown men weeping and gnashing their teeth because they had lost their friends. Normally we get to a fire, put water on it, and you know, we go home in a little while. This I looked at, when's the end of this? And I looked up to the sky and I acknowledged, I said, Lord, I know that you're in control of this. Of this mess right now. I know that you're in control of this and that nothing escapes your hands. And I knew that God was in control of that. And I walked around. I found a friend of mine, the only survivor from my company. And I asked him, where's the guys at? He says, they were all inside. They were all gone. We just started to weep. And we walked around and found some guy. Someone was looking, hey, does anyone know anyone from 34 Engine? I worked there many times. I said, I know. Let me see. They're trying to identify someone. I looked at him and he just had a hole right in the middle of his head. Thinking, how can they identify this guy? And as I continued to walk around, to look for people, I saw a company a good friend of mine belongs to, Ladder Company 8, and I walked up to them. Who's working today? I would have been happy if he just told me some name. Too bad. What do you know? But when he told me the name of my friend, I just began to weep uncontrollably. And my wife started to call me on my cell phone because his wife was calling her to find out if I knew if he was okay. And I knew he was gone because the guy had told me he was right there with us. We were running away from the building. We were almost out of the area and we looked back and he was gone. Nothing of this gentleman has been recovered. Not one bit. And I thought about his five children. And later found out that his wife was pregnant with her six, born 9 months and 4 days after 9/11. 10 men died in my firehouse that day. 40 or 50 guys that I knew personally. Amongst them were Patty Brown, a Marine, a Vietnam veteran. Raymond Downey, a Marine, a Vietnam veteran. If anyone was to climb out of that building, it would have been Patty Brown. One of the most decorated firefighters in New York City. It was John Tierney. A few months on the job. There were four sets of brothers, a father and a son, both firefighters. Two of these sets of brothers, one was a police officer, one was a firefighter. That day, my brother, who is a ESU police officer, lost his partner in the Trade Center. And I remember evenings when I would go home and stop by to see my brother and how he was doing, kind of trying to reach the gap between police and fire department because they got a lot of friction. So I used to go there and just be nice and leave. After 9/11, we really didn't know how many guys were dead. I can only equate it to maybe being in a war zone and really not having proper communications going on. It wasn't until that Sunday, the incident happened on Tuesday, that Sunday, we were in the firehouse, we bought the newspaper and opened it up. And I looked at the newspaper. It had the pictures of 343 firefighters that were gone. And I began to weep. And I started to look at the pictures and I saw a guy. And I remember him telling me, we were getting a raise soon. He says, I'm going to take this money and put it right into my 401k. And I remember another gentleman. He used to show his bank statement to all the guys, and guys used to go, wow, I had a lot of money in there. I saw a gentleman that I knew, and I knew he was a Christian. I started to weep. I knew this guy for 15 years. We studied together as lieutenant to become lieutenant, studied to become captain. And I wept for him. Yet I could rejoice because I knew that he was present with the Lord. But as I looked at a lot of the other faces, I didn't have that same certainty. I wasn't sure about a lot of these guys. And I thought to myself, how many opportunities did I have to share the gospel, to tell these guys about the Lord? And I never took that opportunity. I thought I had all the time in the world to do that. Yeah, I'll do it anytime. And I didn't have that opportunity, and these guys were gone. They had slipped into eternity. The building came down in 7 seconds. That day, it didn't matter how fat your 401k was, how the stock market was doing, how much money you have in the bank. One thing that mattered that day was where they were going to spend eternity and if they knew the Lord as their personal Savior. Did they have that certainty to know for sure that they were going to heaven? Because the Bible tells us that we can know this. These things I have written that you may know that you have eternal life. Our God is not a God that wants us to speculate, well, maybe I'll get to heaven. He wants us to know. And with that certainty, we can share the gospel to other people. On 4 occasions, I was called to the site of the World Trade Center to recover bodies of gentlemen in my company. They had recovered 6 of the 10. Not sure what happened to the other guys. I guess just, I would imagine just they were just pulverized. And as I went to recover the bodies, I remember seeing one guy and I saw his hands. And I said, well, praise God that he has his hands, because they'll be able to identify him instead of so many gentlemen that had nothing to identify themselves. And I looked at his belt and I saw he had a little Leatherman that he always carried, and I knew who it was. This guy was about 50 feet below sidewalk level. And I remember standing in that same spot looking at this rubble and wondering, where are these guys? They got to be under here. And I thought to myself, well, maybe they're in a pocket just waiting for us to come to get them. But as I looked at his body, 50 feet below street level, they were last reported on the 23rd floor. And now he was 50 feet below, compressed beyond belief. And I knew that he didn't have a time. If he didn't know the Lord, he didn't have that time to say, Lord, forgive me. He didn't have that time. It came so quick. It reminds me of a gentleman that I knew as a firefighter. I said, John, brother, you need the Lord. He says, don't worry, Carlos. When I get old, that's when I'll accept the Lord. Right now, I'm doing okay. We think we have all the time in the world. We think we can do it whenever we please. The Bible tells us now is the time. Now is the acceptable time of salvation. After 9/11, so many people came there to help. New York City Fire Department doesn't need help from anyone. And that's the way the guys look at it. And it was such a humbling experience. And people came to help us. And they brought different things to the firehouse, Bibles. They brought food, socks, witchcraft books, L. Ron Hubbard books, Hare Krishna books. They still exist in New York. Someone thought it would be a great idea to bring some pornography. That would cheer the brothers up. And amongst these things, somebody bought these little gizmos here. I'll tell you what it says on it. It says, whoever dies clothes wearing this shall not suffer eternal fire. A little like Lucky Charm, I would imagine. You know, salvation is not from wearing a Lucky Charm, a little rabbit's foot or whatever it may be. It's through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The Lord has already did everything that needs to be done. All we need to do is believe on him. Prior to 9/11, early in that year. Firefighters for Christ was just started about 2 years prior to that in New York City. And Jerry Silcox, our president, had something that the Lord had placed upon his heart to distribute Bibles to every firehouse in the city. And we did that. And we know that some gentleman actually took them, gentleman that died, and said, I'll read this. I'll read it. And we put these Bibles in the firehouses. I don't know how God will use his word, but I can trust what his word says. He says that his word will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose that it was set forth to do. God's word went out, and I believe there are people in heaven because of that Bible distribution. This is actually one of the Bibles that were distributed in the firehouses, and somebody wrote something on this. Can you read that? Can you see that?
Boulder Dash.
Someone thought this was Boulder Dash. And this gentleman proceeded to write through the Bible. Actually, he put a little W in front. He's pretty smart, this guy. He used a lot of big words here. He wrote, Holy Ignorant Bible, the Unproven Hypothesis. Now, that's a big word, right? Very smart man. The Bible tells us that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Thank God that this gentleman did not die that day. And I'm going to finish up. During the cleanup process, another friend of mine came up to me and says, Carlos, where was God last Tuesday? How come God didn't stop this? You know, God didn't create this. It was the works of sinful man. And finally, you may be thinking, hey, you know, firefighters, police officers, army. My brother just came back last month from Iraq. He spent about a year over there. Thank God that he came back safely. But you may think, you have a stressful job. You have a job that possibly you can lose your life. And no one really thought about that before 9/11 as a firefighter. It's always going to happen to somebody else. And it's true. We do have a job, firefighter, police, army, where you possibly can lose your life. There's a gentleman that I know. We went to the police academy together, went to the same firehouse. We both went to the, got on the fire department together. That day on September 11th, he was nowhere near the World Trade Center, but yet he was affected by it. His sister, who had just had a child 13 weeks prior, worked in the World Trade Center. She went to work because her husband told her, hey, don't you think it's time to go back to work to help pay the bills? So she went to work. Worked in the Trade Center in an office. What's going to happen in an office? Stuck by a paperclip? She died that day. I'll share with you the story of my wife. My wife was working in a supermarket before we had children. And someone came in to rob. She was shot in the face. The bullet traveled to her neck. She still has fragments lodged in her neck. You don't have to be a firefighter. You don't have to be a police officer. 343 firefighters that day. Not one of them gave their life voluntarily. But our Lord Jesus Christ came that we could have eternal life. He gave his life, the just for the unjust, that we could live. Thank you very much.